Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Gittin Samach Aleph, we are on the bottom of Samach Medbeis. Metsudois Chaya Va'ifos, on the last line. Metsudois Chaya Va'ifos V'dogim Yesh Behen Gezel Meshum Darkei Shalom. The Mishnah lists many halachis, which are rooted in the idea of Darkei Shalom, to maintain peace and harmony. So, for instance, this halacha, you find a trapped animal inside a trap, which had been set up by a hunter. Technically, that animal doesn't belong to the hunter, but one may not take out that animal. We consider it the property of that trapper, of that hunter, and again, it's because of Darkei Shalom, just to maintain peace and harmony. But it's not really considered stealing, explains the Gemara. Well, it depends on the type of trap we're speaking about. But Uzli, suppose it was, he set up a trap made of ropes, which has an interior. It's sort of a compartment which traps the animal, but it has a toich, it has an interior, in which the animal goes, v'oihari, a similar type of system made of reeds. Now, in this case, says the Gemara, Kuli Amali Pligi, there's no question between the Tanakama and the Mishnah, between Rabbi Yossi, that of course it's considered stealing. It's gezel because, as Rashi says on the top line, the kivan de yeshlehem toich, since it has a toich, an interior, kana le kalev, v'have a gezel gomer. Anything in there belongs to the owner of that trap. Of course, taking it from there is considered stealing. Ki pligi b'lechi v'kukri. The whole machlekes in the Mishnah between Tanakama, who says there's only an issue of Darkei Shalom, whereas Rabbi Yossi goes a step further. He says it has an element of stealing to it. We're speaking about different types of trapping system. Lechi and kukri have no toich. There is no interior. Rashi said lechi, a chika, some sort of maybe a hook, something that they use to trap fish and animals. Kukri, another type of like hooking rod or some sort. So it has no toich. There's no interior, in which case the owner of that trap will be kind of anything. And in this case, we say it's merely Ibnei Darkei Shalom. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, we go a step further, Midrabanan, we consider it stealing. And the Gemara will deal with that in a second. What's an afkamina, whether it's only Darkei Shalom or Midrabanan, we consider it stealing. So let's move on. Mitzias Cheresh Shoyte V'Katan. So Cheresh Shoyte V'Katan, who typically have no ability to acquire, but if they find an item in the street, once again, you can't snatch it from them. Darkei Shalom. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomer, it's absolute thievery. Now, everybody agrees that, you know, min ha-Torah, it is not so. Omer Chizda Gezel Gomer is only midivreihem. Rabbanon considered stealing from a cheresh or a shoyte v'katan as Gezel Gomer. It's only midivreihem. But min ha-Torah, it's not really stealing. It's not really his. Never belonged to the cheresh. So now, Leman of Kamina, what's the point of mentioning that it's called Gezel Gomer Midivreim? It's only Midirabana, which is pretty much what the Tanakhama is saying. Don't do it. Ibn Darkei Shalom. So either way, you don't do it Midirabana. What's the Nafkamina? Loitzia B'dayanim. According to the Tanakhama, you can't extract the item from this thief. You're not supposed to do this. You shouldn't be taking it. Darkei Shalom. But that's it. We don't take you to task. Took it, it's yours. Rabbi Yossi takes it a step further. It's Gezel Gomer Midivrei, Midrabanan, we treat it as stealing, in which case they can go to the Bezdin, to the Dayanim, to get it back. But of course, as Rashi explains, even according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not absolute stealing, Minat Torah, which would disqualify this person from being an aid. it's not considered being over a lav of lesigno lesigzo. It's only midrabon. Oni yamanaki b'resha zayis. Next example. A poor man knocking off those abandoned olives on top of the olive tree. Masha tachtav. Whatever falls beneath him, whatever drops to the floor, again, has the same idea. It's usher to be taken. And once again, Rabbi Yisi says, Gezel Gomer, which of course means Midrabbana. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. That's only if he's knocking it off. And he never really took it into his hands. But Imlikate, if he picked those olives, Venosam Beyad, and had it inside his hands, he was Koinet, Hare Ze Gezel Gomer, if somebody takes that from him. Right? That's Gzela. So he took it, he picked it, and then he threw it down. That's his. There was a story with Rav Kahana. Hava Ka'oz L'Hutzal. He approached the city of Hutzal, where Rabbi Yashia was the leader. Chazi Lahu Gavra. He notices this fellow, Dava Shadi Ufye. He was tossing sticks, branches. V'Kanasron Tamri. And he was knocking down the dates off the tree. So he never actually held on to those dates. He just tripped him off the tree using this stick. Azal kan minket va'achol. So Rav Kahana went along, picked up some of those dates and consumed them. Amar lei, so this fellow was quite agitated. Chazi mar, Mr. Rabbi, take a look, have a look. To be a doisha de sinu. I actually threw those things down after holding them. It was out of my hands. So I was kind of a kinyan gummer. It's mine. What are you doing taking my fruit? So Rav Kahana was impressed with this fellow who seemed to be learned. Amalei me'asred Rav Yashia. You hail from Yashia's town who taught you the halachis, and that's why you're so educated, and he was impressed. Kori alei v'tzadik yisayid olam v'tzadik, who establishes the world and influences the world and teaches and clarifies the halachis to his followers, and that's why you knew all the halachis. Einu nachin b'yad aniyeh nachin b'leket v'shikcho b'peah b'nei da'ke sholem. So even if a guy happens to join the Jewish paupers in collecting leket shikcho b'peah, we don't chase them away in order to maintain peace and harm. Tanu rabbanim mefarnesim. On this topic, we have many more items. Mefarnesim aniyeh nachin. Imanei Yisrael. So when we allot money for tzedakah, if the goyim come along with the Ani Yisrael, we provide for them as well. We don't discriminate. Umevakrin chayli nochrim im chayli Yisrael. While we're visiting the Jewish sick, we also visit the non-Jewish sick. Vekayvrin meisei nochrim meisei Yisrael. If we encounter those in need of burial, whether they're Yisrael or nochrim, we bury them. Of course, as Rashi explains, in separate burial plots, but we look after everybody. And once again, all these halachos are based on these three words, "Upnei Darkei Shalom." Continues the Mishnah with several more examples of things which we do. We make exceptions for Darkei Shalom. Mashelas isha lechaverta, hachashuda halashviyas. So we have two neighbors. One woman is not exactly so meticulous when it comes to halachos of shviyas. She deals with forbidden fruits, and we have a erlecha. Upstanding woman, who happens to be her neighbor, her friend, she can lend this suspected isha the tools needed to process her food. Mashelas isha lachaverta chashuda lashviyas. So Rachel, who's a tzaddikus, can lend Leah the questionable isha all types of utensils, nafa ukvara, sieve, sifters, verechaim matana, grinders, and an oven to process her foods. Even though she's aware of the fact that Leah is perhaps less than careful in certain halachis, but, she's not really, at this point, actively helping her process her fruits. She can just lend her the tools necessary. But she can't actually participate in processing those foods. She can't actually sift or grind her wheat together with her. As Rashi explains, B'shas ha'avera, one may not actively engage in assisting a transgressor when he's actually transgressing the avera. So I can lend you what you need, but I can't actually participate and help you. Next example, Eishes Chaver. You have a wife of a Chaver, upstanding community member who is careful on and all the halachas of Truma and Maser and keeping things Tahir. So this woman, who'd like to keep a higher standard, is allowed to be nice to her friend. Mash'eles La'eshes Amoritz can lend the wife of an Amoritz, ordinary man who is not necessarily Neman and trusted when it comes to Ma'asrois. Again, she can loan her all these utensils, Nafa Ukvara. Ubeireres v'techenes umrakedes ima. Here comes a chiddush. She can actually, in this case, she can actually participate and give her a hand. Sift with her, grind with her. Mrakedes ima, another form of sifting. Even though, here's a chiddush, even though the Eishes Amoritz is perhaps dealing with Tevel, and not being responsible when it comes to Truma and Maser. No problem. She can do that. The Gemara will ask, of course, how? How come this is different than the previous halacha where we don't allow her to actually actively participate? But she can do so up to a point until it gets into issues of Tumah v'Tahara. Aval m'shetata l'samayim. We're speaking about a dough that she's making. So until she gets to the point of mixing the water, that's okay. But once she gets to that point and it starts getting into issues of Tumah v'Tahara, which of course gets triggered when the item gets wet. It's called Hukshar L'Kabot Tumah. It becomes susceptible to Tumah. So once it gets to that point, now there's a more severe issue. The concern is that perhaps she's making the dough tummy, and of course we know that within your dough is a piece considered challah, meant for the kohen. It's like truma. It's meant to be protected and remain tahir. And therefore, at this point, Litiga Ima, the Eishes Chaver, may not physically give her a hand and actively participate in kneading that dough. The reason is, V'she'en Machzikin Yidei Ovir Avera, we never help and assist those who are engaged in Avera. And the Mishnah concludes, V'chula. Now, all these allowances, meaning the fact that we allow the Isha to lend her certain items in certain situations, we're really, you know, it shouldn't really be the case. We shouldn't be helping her out at all. But we make an exception. Lo yamru elim medarkei sholem, in order to keep the peace and harmony, so we allow a certain amount of camaraderie, but up to a point. And the Mishnah concludes, machzikin yidei nachron b'shviyas. If you see a goy plowing his field on Shemitah, you could boost him, give him a good word. No problem. Even though he's working the fields on Shemitah, for him it's okay. Avaloi de Yisrael, if you see Yisrael transgressing Hilchos Shemitah and plowing his field, we may not boost him, pat him on his back, tell him a good word, just turn the other way, show your displeasure. V'shayalan b'shleiman, and one more halacha, that one may greet a guy, even by saying Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, and Rashi says even though Shalom is one of Hashem's names, one may do so, address the guy with Shalom. We play the Arkei Shalom. Now here comes the obvious question. In case one of the Mishnah, we say, look, you can lend the Isha, who is Chashuda al Hashviyas, you can loan her all these tools, but actively involving yourself in what she's doing, that you cannot do. Right? Because you're being Masayaya, an Isha, who's doing Avera, who's processing forbidden Shviyas products. But then in the next case, with the Eishes Amoritz, who is less than careful regarding halachos of Trumos in Maser, there we say no problem. Not only is she loaning her the equipment, she's actually grinding and sifting. What do you mean? We're speaking about an Isha who's neglecting halachos Trumos in Maser. How could you be Messiah and her processing those products? Mishnah Reisha, Mishnah Seif. What's the difference between the first part of the Mishnah where it's forbidden and the second part of the Mishnah where we don't seem to be concerned about Trumas and Masters? Amar Abaye, very simple. Roiv Amiya Oretz Ma'asrinhein. For the most part, even Amiya Oretz are careful about Trumas and Masters. the fact that we consider products brought from Amoritz as Tevel, as Demai, which requires, you know, extra attention, but that's only Midrabbanan, it's a Chumrah. In the Torah, we follow the majority, and most Am Yaretz are careful, and therefore, it doesn't really concern us at this point. And she couldn't grind and sift, no problem. Because of Darkei Shalom, of course. Rava Amar, Hocha b'Ma'aretz Rabbi Meir, V'tuma b'Tara d'Rabban. Rava says like this. You cannot contend that for the most part Am Yaretz are careful of Trumas and Maestros. No. It's a suffix. It's an even split, 50-50, and of course, typically you can't be Messiah, this type of fellow, for concern that he's neglecting Trumas and Maestros. Our Mishnah, however, is speaking about a person who is Muchzak, who's known to be meticulous about Trumas and Maestros. He's not Maretz, but he's careful about Truma and Maestros. He's an Amoritz Rav Meir. Which means that Rav Meir considers a person who's careful in Truma and Maaser, but not careful to maintain his Peiros B'Tahara. He allows his fruit to become tummy, no problem. Rav Meir considers him an Amoritz. So, according to Rameh, the title, the classification of Amoritz, applies to a fellow, even if he's careful in Maaser. If he's not careful in Truma, in Tuma Vatara, he's classified as an Amoritz. And that's the Amoritz that the Mishnah is speaking about. Eshus Amoritz is this type of person. So, of course, there's no concern about Maaser. He's careful. And so is she. What is she not careful about? V'tuma Vatara d'Rabbanon. There's an Isser in allowing your produce in Eretz Yisrael to become tummy, and that's the isser, that's the concern here, that they're not paying attention to. So that explains the Mishnah. She can loan her the equipment, she can even help her. There's no concern of maser at this point, but mishata til es hamayim, once she pours the water into the flour. Now we have issues of Tumah v'Tahara, because it's susceptible to Tumah. It's Hoshe L'Kabal Tumah. Right? So therefore, at this point, you have to back out. The son, Ye'ezu Amoritz, who's classified as Namoritz, Kol She'ena Ichel Chulav v'Tahara, Divrei Rav Meir, a person who's not careful to maintain his food v'Tahara. And that's the type of Amoritz that the Mishnah is speaking about. Maser, she's careful with, but not Tumah v'Tahara. V'chachamim oimrim, kol she'enim maser pirois. Chachamim disagree. They apply the title Amoritz only to a person who's not careful with Maser. Again, our mission is Rav Meir. She's careful with Maser, and therefore there's no concern until she wets her dough. Asks the Gemara. But we have a kash on that. V'amidutani seif. Mishatatal samayim. So the Mishnah continues. Okay, but once the water is in there, and there's a potential issue of becoming tamei, of the dough becoming tamei, she has to back off. Leitiga ima. Right? So we have a diuk here. Michlal d'Reisha. Apparently the first part of that episode, until water was poured in, where we say she's allowed to participate, she's allowed to cooperate with the Eishes HaMa'aretz. And the Mishnah explains it's only because of Darkei Shalom. Typically you wouldn't allow, but Darkei Shalom overrides that. But the question is, why do we need Darkei Shalom to allow this? Mechlal d'Reisha lav b'tumah v'tahara askin. And apparently before she put in the water, the flour was not yet hukshar l'kabal tumah, wasn't susceptible to tumah. So it's all clear. What's the problem? Why does the Mishnah explain that the reason, the basis for allowing the Isha to participate, to cooperate with the Eishes HaMa'aretz at this point before water was put in, is merely make an exception. special allowance. Peace and harmony. Forget peace and harmony. There's no issue at all. There's no reason why not. Look, maser, she's careful with. Tumma? There's no tumma potential before water is introduced. Answers the Gemara. Reisha v'sefa b'tumma v'tahara. The truth is, as Rashi explains, the entire story, the first part of the story, second part of the story is speaking that the parents were mechsharim. The flower was hukshal kabal tumma. The difference is like this. V'reisha b'tumma schulen. Before this thing turned into a dough, at most, what's the issue? The chulin, the flour, will become tummy, which is only isadra bonon. And since we have the darke sholem factor, that overrides, that allows it. V'sefer b'tumas chala. But the second part of the story, once you introduce the water to the flour, and you start forming that dough, which is going to trigger the chiyuv and mitzvah of chala, which has a status of truma, now you're running into more severe concerns. Because chala, truma, has to be maintained b'tahara. And neglecting that is the issa d'oraisa. Rashi brings a pasuk on the bottom here. V'sefer b'tumas chala d'oraisa. She'asur l'tama b'yad d'chsiv. Es mishmer truma yisai avad l'shimur. So the truth is, the entire story, we're talking about story number two in the Mishnah, Eishas Chaver being Mash'elas L'Eishas Ama'aretz, poses a concern of merely Tumah V'Tahara. Again, Maser is not a concern, we're going through Meir's classification of Ama'aretz, she's careful with Maser. Within Tumah we have two levels, pre-dough and post-dough. Pre-dough is merely a rabbinic concern, you're not allowed to be Metamei Chulin in Eretz Yisrael, people want to be Tar, etc. So that factor is sort of, you know, cast aside due to the Darkei Sholem concern. She can cooperate at that point, help her out. But once you get to the dough forming stage, now we're running into an issue of Deiraisa, because now it has Chala in it, has Truma. At this point, she has to back off. Darkei Sholem is only a factor by the Rabbonans and not by Deiraisa. That's the key to the Sugya. Asks the Gemara. So you tell me you can be Messiah, you can help out, even if this fellow is not careful with Chulin Betuma. V'raminu, we have a kash. V'raminu, toichlin mafkidin etzloich leshviz. So one is allowed to trust a fellow who's not careful with Shemitah issues. You can grind your grain by him, you can deposit your grain with him, no problem. And there's no concern that he's going to go, you know, swap it and give you something else, which is usur. No. He's trusted to give you back the exact material that you gave him. Okay? And likewise, you can do the same. You can deposit your produce with people who are not careful, you know, to maintain tahara on their pay raise. Again, the point is, we're not concerned that perhaps he's going to flip it and switch it and give you back pay raise shvius or pay raise which I tell me. We assume that he's going to return your actual deposit. Avo loy lo ichle shvius. V'loy lo ichle perisim betuma. But you may not be misayeya lo ivri avira. You can't service. You can't grind for an ichle shvius. Person's not careful of perishvias. You can't grind or store fruit on behalf of somebody who's not careful with tumma on his peris. Right? Because you're assisting a transgressor. So again, you can trust him, but you can't help him. So what's the kasha? A person is not oichel peris but tumma. And we're speaking about chulin, cannot be assisted. Cannot be helped. What do you mean? In our Mishnah we learned that you can help the neighbor even when she's involved in Peres Betumah, as long as it's just Chulin, as long as it's just Nisadir Rabbanon. So why is this different? Amar Abaye was speaking about an Issa D'Oraisa here. We're not speaking about chulin betuma. We're speaking about a kohen who is suspected of having his truma betuma. He's doing an issa d'oraisa, and that's why you can't help him out. Because as we explained, darkei shalom only addresses yisurah d'rabbanan, and not yisurah d'oraisa. Asks the Gemara. So if this b'raisa is speaking about a kohen who's suspected of wrongdoing, yachi mafkidin, so how could the Mishnah, the b'raisa, allow you to trust him by entrusting him with your peiros? He might take your truma and make a tummy. If he's not meticulous, he's not careful about these things. Raminu, we have a raya from a b'raisa that you shouldn't be doing that. Mafkidin truma etzel Yisrael ha'maretz. So one is allowed to take his truma and give it for safekeeping by a Yisrael, even though he's not of the highest standards. We're not concerned that he's going to tamper with your truma. V'loy etzel kohen ha'maretz. But you can't do that with a kohen ha'maretz v'mishalibay gaspa, because he's not perturbed, he's not intimidated with truma, from truma. It's his bread and butter. Libay gaspa, it's his standard fare. A kohen and truma go together, so he doesn't get intimidated when he sees your truma, and he might just tamper with it, might make a tummy. Right? So again, if the b'raisa, back in the beginning of the Amud here, is discussing dealing with a kohen who's less than careful, kohen chashed lechal truma betuma, then how could you be mafkid by him? How could the Mishnah, the b'raisa on the top line here, say toichnen mafkidin, you can be mafkid your peiros by the oichel peiros betuma? We're speaking about a kohen who's not careful. You can't trust him. Amar b'law, you're right. But Hacha b'mayaskinan was speaking about a special case where your safekeeping item is protected. B'klicheres hamukav tzomet pasal askinan. We're speaking about the tvoah which is inserted, contained in a klicheres, earthenware keli, a pottery, which is mukav tzomet pasal, which is sealed with a proper seal, which pretty much preempts any tampering. So that's why there's no concern. Asks the Gemara, but there's still a concern. Maybe the kohen's wife, who happens to be a tummy at that point, will move the kli and make a tummy even without touching the interior and the content. She can still make a tummy by moving it. Elor Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Yirmiya says, I'll give you another answer which will address your concern. Like Kasha, the answer is like this. Kan b'peres shehochshuru. Brisa number one, which allows depositing with this kohen is speaking. Sorry, brisa number two, which does not allow safe depositing, but with this kohen is speaking about pairs which are huchshel kavot tumah, susceptible to tumah. So we have a concern that it might be metame your truma. Kan pairs shelo yuchshru, whereas brisa number one is speaking that the pairs were not huchshel kavot tumah. So even if the kohen is not careful, but there's nothing he can do, no damage will be done to your pairs which are not huchshel kavot tumah. Asks the Gemara another kash. We have a kasha from another brice. Hamoylech chitin l'toichen kusi l'toichen ama'aretz. A person decides to use the services of a kuti or ama'aretz, bringing him his grain and asking him to grind it for you. Hare'elu b'chaskosin l'maso l'shvi'is. There's no concern that perhaps the fellow switched your grain with somebody else's, which was not meisered, which has an issue of shvius. No, we assume he returns your wheat, and rather than switching it, we're not concerned that he switched it. Okay, avaloi l'tuma. That's when it comes to maser and shvius, but not when it comes to a question of tuma, which means basically that we're chayshish. We're concerned that perhaps the mill owner, the kuti, the amaretz, tampered with your stuff. He touched it directly and made a tummy. Right? So here we see there's a concern of tumah v'tahara. And you know, we're not speaking about a truma and a kayan. We're speaking about an ordinary person, and we're concerned that he was metami your stuff. And there we say, in Braisa number one and in Braisa number two, we say that, you know, there's no concern with being mafkid by an amaretz. We're not concerned that he was metami. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? We just answered that question a minute ago. All depends on circumstance. All depends whether the peris are susceptible to tum. Hi, my rumia. What kind of? Why are we asking this question? Lava kim. Haven't we just provided that distinction? The peris shelo yuchsheru. That the brisa which allows being mafked by an amaretz without concern of tumah is speaking about peris which are not huchsher. Apparently, this brisa that we just quoted is speaking that it was huchsher, which poses a concern of tumah. Well, God, why are you asking this question again? But the Karlo, the one who asked the question, my Karlo, what was he thinking? Why was he presenting this as a question? The answer is, you're right. He didn't really think it would be a kasha. But the reason why he brought up this brisa was to bring out another point, totally different point, to ask a question from a different direction, so to speak. Mishum de kaboyle mir machriti Allah. We mentioned this brisa in order to introduce a new idea which is going to be challenged from another brisa. You see, here we just said you can use the grinder's services and without a concern of switching. You can assume that you got back what you gave him, and you know you maintain the same status regarding master and shvius, no change. Really, we're not concerned about swapping. We have a kasha. So this son-in-law is an upstanding fellow, he's a chaver, meticulous in halachis, in truma, and tara, and everything. And he has a dough, and he gives it to his mother-in-law. And she's not necessarily so learned like him. She's an amaretz. Ma'aser shunois in law, v'eshunois lemeno. So before he gives anything to her, he has to take off ma'aser, for concern that she might eat it. And likewise, when he gets it back from her, once again he has to separate ma'aser. You know why? Because she might have swapped it for him. She suspected of swapping something which she considers perhaps spoiled, meaning she doesn't want to give him back something spoiled, and she perceives it as having spoiled, she'll swap it with something else. So therefore you have to be careful, help her out, make sure that whatever you give her, which she eventually might consume herself, is ma'aser, and likewise, whatever you take from her. Apparently, you're concerned about swapping. Says the more big difference. Hasam. K'tani tama. The reason why, in that case, we're concerned about swapping is because of the reason given. Amar B'yuda, right? Sehi betakonas bito b'yishe mechasna. We're talking about a mother-in-law who's trying to protect her daughter. And she wants to impress her son-in-law. So, yeah. There we have a concern about swapping, but typically a stranger, why would he swap your product? By a stranger, we're not concerned about tanan noisin pundakis. So a fellow staying in an inn, bed and breakfast inn, and you know he has some food with him. He asks the hostess to you know put it in the fridge for him. Maaser shu noisin lo, ve'ez shu noisin lemena. Once again, both ways you have to maaser what you give her and what you take. Neshamach levis, we're concerned that she might swap it. Apparently, swapping is a concern. Answers the Gemara, Hasam Moira. Va'amra. There she has a Moira Heter. Meaning, she ve'enfers herself. She excuses herself. That she has good intentions. That's why she's doing it. She's not doing it to be, you know, dishonest. She says like this, Va'amra, Bar Bei Rav, this Talmud Chacham here, visiting, Leichel Chamim, I want to give him, you know, warm, fresh bread. I'll eat the older bread. It's an expression meaning to say it's a couple of days later. She doesn't want to give him back his old bread, so she keeps her, his bread. She makes her nefesh and gives him something fresh. That's why she swapped it. But again, typically we're not concerned about swapping unless there's a special reason. But Tanya, you have a brisa eishes chaver toichenes leishes im eishes amoritz. You have an eishes chaver, upstanding woman. It's allowed to grind together with the eishes amoritz. Help her out in her grinding. Bizman she tumeya. Only when the Isha Schaver happens to be in a state of tumah, which preempts any concerns of her, you know, reaching in and partaking from the Am Aretz's food, because she's accustomed to keep away when she's tummy, careful not to touch anything. So at that point, there's no concern that she'll eat from the Eishes Am Aretz. But if the Eishes Chover happens to be in a state of Tahara, she's liable to reach out and, pick up some food from the Eishes Am Aretz and eat it. So therefore, she shouldn't be involved. She shouldn't be helping her grind, lest she partake in the forbidden foods from the Am Aretz. Even when she's in a state of tumah, she should not be involved in grinding the Eishes Am Aretz's material. Because although she perhaps won't reach out, won't initiate, but the friend, the Am Aretz, might actually pick up something and give it to her. Which is a problem because of the maser, which perhaps was not separated. Okay, so that's the halacha. Question is, hashta mignav ganva. So here we have a halacha, which is based on a concern that the Eishes Am Aretz will steal. This is her husband's, everything that she's doing belongs to her husband, right? She'll take her husband's food, steal and give it to her friend, the visitor, the Eishes Chaver, hashta mignav ganva chalifla mechlafa. If she steals, don't you think she's liable to swap as well? Switch things? And here we say a whole sugya that whenever cheshish, we can deposit things for safekeeping, we're not cheshish for swapping. Amar of Yosef, hasam nami mori va'amra. Typically, there's no concern about swapping for no good reason, but here there's a special moira heta. She's favoring herself. She's excusing herself. She says, look, my friend here is putting in all this effort to help me grind my husband's wheat, taira, an ox. He's allowed to eat some of the material that he's threshing. That's the halacha, right? One must allow the animal to sample the foods that he's working with. So that's her excuse. But typically, there's no reason to suspect that, the Am Aretz, whoever he is, will switch things. You can be assured that whatever you get back is what you gave him. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. So we spoke about many, many items which are based on Darkei Shalom, first of which was don't take out anything from the trap. Darkei Shalom, the Gemara says, of course, if it has a toich, it would be considered Gezel Gomer. Metzias Cheir Shoyt V'Katan, the same story. Darkei Shalom, Rabbi Yossi says Gezel Gomer Midrabbanan. The Ani knocking off those olives, again, those are Darkei Shalom, unless he actually took them into his possession, that would be considered a Gezel Gomer. We have the story with Rav Kahana, with his fellow in Hutzal, who was impressed with his knowledge based on the halacha is taught to them by Rav Yashia. We address the needs of Aniyei Nachrim. Talking about Aniyei Nachrim, Rav Moshe Feinstein used to send out tzedakah checks to many, many tzedakahs and meisters, and they bring down that amongst his meisters, amongst his recipients, were several non-Jewish organizations, especially ones who were dealing with mentally ill patients, etc. And he felt that it was important for us to participate and contribute to those charities as well, especially, he says, like Rabban and rabbis should be perceived as looking out for the betterment of the entire community. He felt it was a Kiddush Hashem, and that's fully in line with our Gemara. Yom Rafanis, all the Goyim, Mevakar, all the Cholim, and Kever, all the Mesim. The next sugi, we have an interesting distinction, between participating in something which has a possible Issa Deiraisa, that we're not allowed to do, that's called Mesayeya, the Oiver Avira. So if it involves being Metamid Truma, or involves working on Shemitah, you're not meant to pat them on the back and assist them and encourage them. However, when it comes to merely Isur Derabbanan, there the mission does allow it, and it's based on Darkei Shalom. Then we went into a sugi about a concern of swapping, of being machlif, and the Gemara concluded that other than some exceptional cases like a mother-in-law who's looking after your good, or a pundakis with the Talmud Chacham, or in the case of the neighbor who's benefiting from your help. Otherwise, we're not choishish for lachlufin, And rest assured that, you know, whatever he returns to you is assumed to be the item that you gave him. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.